Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. Tim should be back in the captain's chair tomorrow. And I'm in studio with Fred Jackson, and now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us.
Hey, everybody.
And Steve, I guess I'm just going to have to continue to call you Steve Paisley Jordahl because that's just stuck.
It's what it is.
Yep.
I'm okay.
It is what it is.
I'm okay with it. Yep.
So, all right, let's start us off on the news that's fit to talk about.
Well, the Supreme Court decision kind of sucked all the oxygen out of the room, but there was a lot of other stuff that's been happening. I know you guys talked a little bit about the debate fallout.
Yes.
Is Biden coming or going or whatever? But I thought it was interesting to look at the polling after the debate because it didn't change as much as you would think. On Wednesday, Donald Trump was up I don't have the RCP average, but he was up by 6 points in the Quinnipiac poll. If you include Biden and Kennedy and West and Stein, he was up. I saw one poll, he's up by 10. And then if you don't include just Trump v. Biden, he was only up 4. The next day, let's look at Friday, Trump was up by 2, and in fact, the Morning Consult poll even had Biden up by 1 the day after the debate. So it's interesting, the polls don't really reflect a whole lot of movement like you would expect them to. I don't know how to account for that.
Well, Tim is prone to say that he thinks most people have made up their minds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Fred, that does maybe not take into account that there are independents, but I don't know how much independents are questioned in these polls. Polling is an art as much as a science sometimes. But maybe Tim's right on this. Maybe most people have kind of made up their minds. So a bad performance by Joe Biden on Thursday night is not going to change people's minds who were already planning to vote for Trump. Although I will say Wesley Wildman last week said that things like the debate can change turnout. So that would not be reflected in polls when you're just asking people who you prefer in a head-to-head matchup. Turnout and excitement over your particular party's candidate, that can influence the final tally.
Yeah, I think, the debate confirmed in a lot of people's minds what the polling has been saying, what people have been noticing, that Joe Biden does have some mental capacity problems.
Right.
So that confirmed. What I heard a lot about post-debate was Democrats and what does this do for down-balloting?
That's an excellent point.
What's it do for members of the House?
Explain what you mean by down-balloting.
Well, other names, you get a ballot and there's, the presidents, senators and House members, et cetera, et cetera. If they're feeling really bad about Joe Biden and his capacity to continue on for a second term, they start looking down ballot. Well, do I want to go with the Republican or the Democrat in the Senate? Because, the Democrats are looking really bad. They're supporting this president who obviously has some mental capacity problems. And so, and we're talking more about close races. This time around, Democrats have more to lose in Senate races than Republicans. And they know it. There's a lot of Democrats that are really concerned. So this showing of Joe Biden last Thursday night in that debate has, I don't care what the White House is saying today, it doesn't matter what these party officials are saying, that troubled a lot of people, what they saw in Joe right. Biden. And so there are Democrats that are down balloting, and they're looking at this, and they're saying to their people, one of the big concerns is, are they still going to write big checks to the Biden campaign? That's another one. Really?
Fundraising especially. I read stuff after the debate that big money fundraisers might withhold giving to the Biden administration to wait to see if he's going to drop out.
Absolutely.
Now it looks like maybe he won't, but
yeah.
Still, that can put a freeze on.
Do I want to give $5 million to the Biden campaign today, knowing what I saw on the TV?
Or to a PAC.
Yeah.
Here's one more real quick thing on polling, because the poll between Biden and Trump is very close. But listen to this. Biden is underwater by 17 points almost when in job approval. 16, he's underwater by 16%.
What do you mean by underwater?
It means that 39% of the people, and this is the average, approve of his job that he's doing, and 56% disapprove of the job.
Oh, I see.
Doing. And then listen to this. As far as the direction of the country, if it's going the right direction under President Trump or the wrong direction, Joe Biden is underwater by 40 points. I'm trying to bring up that page. It's not coming up right now, but 39.9% difference between those who say that the country's, here it is, going in the right direction as opposed to the wrong direction. They just went away. But anyway, so as far as people's grading Biden on how he's doing, he's failing. But
yeah,
they're
and
still
that,
close. So and, I don't know
and
what that means.
That can have a great impact on election day voting, regardless of what people might say at the end of June, beginning of July, in answering a poll. When they go into the voting booth, mm-hmm. Fred, most people, if they're a little bit hesitant one way or the other, they get in that voting booth. If they have curtains, they close the curtains, what have you, and they sometimes just vote on their gut.
Yep.
And they just say, "The direction we're headed, to mm-hmm. use Steve's example here, I don't like the direction we're going. I'm going to vote for Trump, and you know what? I'm going to give the Republicans a try." And sometimes they'll vote right straight ticket.
I'm old enough to remember Carter Reagan.
Right.
It was the economy. James Carville, Democrat strategist.
Well, that was Bush and Clinton.
Yeah.
It's
the economy stupid. James Carville there. But I'm old enough to remember Carter, too.
Yes.
And interest rates, all of that sort of thing, what was going on.
Stagflation,
all of that. I believe this time around, when we're seeing numbers like 20 and 30% increase in grocery prices.
Right.
When we're seeing credit card debt in this country is at all-time highs.
Right.
It is the economy this time around. And the Biden and the Democrats are not going to win on that. I don't care how many of their experts they send out there, but things are better. It was like during the debate last Thursday night. Joe Biden and the Democrats keep saying he created thousands of jobs.
Right.
No, he didn't.
Those were bounce
those
back
were
jobs.
Those were fact-checked, by the way, as lies on CNN.
Yeah. Those are bounce-back jobs after the shutdown because of COVID.
Yeah.
And everybody knows that, but they keep lying about it.
Yeah. All right. We will simply out of habit, and because it's what you talk about when you talk politics, we'll continue to look at the polls.
Long time between now and November.
Long time.
Anything
we still have two conventions to go, and we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah. So. In other news, you know, we keep the phrase goes, go woke, go broke.
Right.
Tractor Supply is figuring that one out. There's a chain of stores called Tractor Supply, basically lawn and garden and amateur farmers, the bib and overall kind of people that a lot of pet food, a lot of pet stuff. And Robbie Starbuck, who's a podcaster and a filmmaker, was on a single man crusade because they had been selling all kinds of rainbow colored merchandise in their store, and they were cooperating with the human rights campaign to compete for the most gay-friendly store.
Right.
And Robbie's saying, you know what? This isn't your customer base. Well, they came out with a statement. This is June 27th, which was Thursday, I believe.
Right.
And this is what they said. For more than 85 years, Tractor Supply has been focused on one thing, serving life out here, capital letters, that's their motto. Every day, 50,000 team members take care of our customers. We've heard from our customers, and we're changing course. Going forward, We will ensure that our activities giving tie directly to our business. For instance, this means we will, number one, we are no longer going to submit data to the Human Rights Campaign.
That's the largest pro-gay organization, pro-homosexual organization
yes,
in the country.
And they grade businesses, and you know, we use it as an anti-list. Whoever's top right. of their list, we you know can avoid doing business with. They're going to, a couple of the things, they're going to get rid of DEI. They're going to eliminate the DEI roles, and they're going to go back. We will continue to listen to our customers and team members. Your trust and confidence are of utmost importance to us. Robbie Starbuck was talking about what happened, and I want you to hear from him. He, again, single-handedly
orchestrated
this.
First of all, that's
this.
One of the greatest names ever.
I know, right?
Robbie Starbuck.
I think it's his real name.
Sounds like a character on Star Wars.
It does, kind of. Cut nine.
This is the first Fortune 300 company in our lifetimes to go backwards on ESG, DEI, and all these woke causes and donations in record speed, mind you. It seeks to restore tractor supply back to what America used to be, a sane country where everybody just got to get along and companies did what companies do, make great products, have great customer service, and that's how you win. They're going to stop funding all of these woke causes, and instead they're going to fund things that are nonpartisan in nature, like agriculture, education, animal welfare, veterans causes. BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street are not their customers. They are not walking through the doors to get farm supplies. People like myself and my neighbors are because we own farms. We are setting a new standard, and corporations and their CEOs are going to have to reckon with this. They're going to have to understand that they may be next. If you get strategic and you look at companies who depend on that middle America vote, they depend on you walking into that store. Those are the companies where you can extract change first. And as a by proxy effect, you're going to see other companies start to make changes because they see that a certain type of doing business is toxic.
You know, all American Family Association has done over the years, and I know because I worked there for 28 years and worked on a lot of projects where we were in talks with big corporations. All we ever asked was they remain neutral. Just don't pick sides on these issues. So let me ask you this, Steve, and then Fred will toss it to you for a reaction. The Tractor Supply backpedaling here on woke causes, was this because they simply heard complaints from customers or business began to drop because of that or a little bit of both? Do we have any idea?
I read that they lost a ton of money. Their stock didn't tank as much as people want to think, but their income level went way down because of this. So they heard from their customers both in this is what our shareholders and this is what letters we're getting, and also this is how many people are giving us money as opposed to before. So, yeah, it was a combination of all of that.
Fred, what's your take?
I'm trying to imagine a boardroom meeting, Tractor Supply Board of Directors. How in the world did they get convinced that they should have a relationship with the Human Rights Campaign?
Right.
How in the world did they get convinced that they ought to jump into diversity, equity, and inclusion programs?
Right.
Given their customer base, I've purchased items at Tractor Supply.
Sure.
I go in there and with cat food and. And I think at certain times of the year, they had little chickens. You could buy, I think, around Easter time.
They're very tasty.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's something different.
Yes. Garden supplies.
Yeah. Fences.
Fences. Gates. Yes. Yeah. All of these sorts of things. And I'm trying to imagine the board of directors actually voted in favor of this. Yeah, let's go woke.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
It was trendy at one point, and the left, the squeaky wheel kind of thing, where the activists who were pushing the DEI thing screamed the loudest and made the threats, and everybody's quaked, only to find out it's a paper tiger because there are not that many people that want this. And when middle America and everybody in flyover country weighs in, it's not such a good idea anymore. And I think this. What Robbie Starbuck is saying is you're going to do this kind of business at your own peril, and I think maybe some companies are starting to figure that out.
Well, I think that organizations like the Human Rights Campaign, let's just more broadly speaking, the LGBTQ plus, that community, they got tossed in the same basket with the critical race theory, DEI, ESG, all of that got tossed in the same basket. And I think what's happened, I think most Americans – are fair-minded. They don't want They don't want gay kids shoved in a locker at school or beaten up on the playground. Nobody wants that. But I think because that got dumped into the basket with all these other causes, people started hearing, okay, you're saying that because I'm white, I'm racist and can never change, critical race theory, and you're saying our country is a institutionalized racist country and needs to be completely overhauled. I don't agree with that. And what happened is, since all those causes were thrown in the same basket, all of them are falling into disfavor with your average person who wants to be friendly to people, doesn't want harm to come to anyone, but they don't buy we're all race, all white people are racist stuff. And listen, there's black farmers too who go into Tractor Supply, but nobody's really going into Tractor Supply to make a political statement. Mm-hmm. They're going to buy stuff for their farms and their gardens. My wife and I bought just a little dog kennel, 10 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We didn't go in there for a lecture. And I think increasingly people are tired of the lectures.
And to your point, I think this is also why we're seeing the support for Donald Trump among black Americans and among the Latin American community is surging, because even a lot of people in the black community aren't buying this. It's a racist country and we hate America. They're not. They're patriotic Americans just like any American.
And there are certainly things that need to be changed in America, but I don't think anyone wants to burn the house down
exactly
in order to make those changes. Yep. All right, what else we got?
Well, let's go back to the debate. There's some foreign policy concerns with if you have a president who is obviously compromised mentally and not doing the best for his country, and there's a possibility of a stronger Donald Trump who they've seen – and they've seen has been quite strong with his foreign policy, making sure that other countries are in check. You know, Donald Trump makes a point that Russia never invaded anybody when he was president. They did under Barack Obama. They did under Joe Biden. So the question is now, are these dictatorships like Russia, like China, like Iran, are they going to make a move while Joe Biden is still president? And over in Europe, they just have raised the alert status of military bases over there to what they're calling Condition Charlie. They never, as a matter of routine, they don't talk about why they changed this.
Right.
Usually it's in regard to specific threats. But there's a lot of questions now about China has some designs on Taiwan.
Right.
And Iran, of course, is doing a proxy war against Israel. And people are holding their breath to see whether or not we're going to have some kind of a foreign policy debacle between now and November while the getting is good from the perspective of our enemies.
Now, the level, threat level, Charlie, what's the scale? Is that like 3 from the top? Most is threat level alpha is
the scale,
the worst.
The scale goes, the levels are either normal, alpha, bravo, Charlie, a delta, the high delta being the highest state of alert.
Okay.
Bravo is generally where they sit. Now they're on Charlie, which is, goes Charlie, delta, it goes, Charlie's the next, delta is the high state of alert. In other words, delta, you've got men armed at the gates ready to go.
Okay.
They say this Charlie means it's going to take a lot longer for personnel to get on the base. If you don't have business on the base, you're probably not going to be allowed on the base. They're just at a heightened state of alert. And we don't know. It's conjecture on my part, but it could have to do with the fact
that it could be terrorism threats.
And terrorists are paying attention to who's in the White House, too.
Right. You know, Fred, President Trump made a good argument at the debate on Thursday night. It's one that he's made over the last 3.5 years. And that argument is, as Steve outlined, that while he was in office, starting in 2016, There were, you know, Russia had previously had taken Georgia, had taken Crimea. Okay, did nothing on his watch. China behaved itself. North Korea behaved itself. Iran was being strangled by sanctions. He makes a good argument that these bad actors do not want to see him back in the White House. So the question is, if they prefer Biden, do they initiate some sort? Does China try to take Taiwan in order to keep Biden in the White House? Because will the voters change presidents while there's a war going on? Or, on the other hand, do they realize that Trump probably is going to win, and if they're going to do something and take something, they do it now? Those are scary propositions.
There are scary propositions, is right. And you know, that point was underlined by former President Trump at the debate the other night. I think there's no question our planet is in turmoil right now. There is a lot of concern about the aggressiveness of China. There's a lot of concern, obviously, with what Russia is doing Iran. Iran, Russia, and China are bad actors. And they're all working together right now.
Right.
And not to mention North Korea, throw them in there, because you had Putin just visited North Korea. So there's a lot of volatility right now. And it's interesting. It's manifesting itself in what we're seeing in elections in Europe, in Germany, in France. We saw it in Italy back in the last couple of years. A lot of it started with those countries opened their borders.
Right.
Mass migration in, mainly from Middle Eastern countries. I am very concerned with the upcoming Olympics in France. What's going to happen there? There's a lot of tension there right now between Islamic faction, Jews that are there. Of course, that's going on around the world right now.
Even in this country.
Even in this country. And so you're seeing a movement in the elections, Germany and France, in particular France over the weekend, had their initial or secondary stage of elections. And there is a movement to the right. And when they say that, I have to explain to the right, people are worried about their security.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. And they're seeing amongst more conservative parties, I want a more secure feeling. I want to make sure my country isn't falling into the trap of the enemy.
Right.
And so I think what's happening right now is that it's happening in this country too. We have seen an invasion of this country in the last 4 years.
Right.
And the figures are all over the place. Some people say 6 million, some people say 15 million.
Yeah.
Have entered.
Or even higher.
Or even higher. Now you have several cases of illegal immigrants that are charged with killing, with raping individuals. And so We're starting to see in real life what conservatives have been warning about over the last 4 years. So there is concern not only economically in this country, but now for the safety of people.
Right.
They're seeing what's happening in these big cities. They're seeing their big cities are being overrun by these illegal immigrants. And you have governments, Democrat governments, that are willing to go along with it. So this is what we're facing. This is an election like no other in recent history in this country. And if we look at what's happening in Europe, we wonder, is the same thing going to happen here? If we're going to see a major movement in the direction of a party that is willing to at least say, I'm worried about our security, what are we going to do about it?
Right. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. Folks, thank you for tuning in to today's issues. Our thanks to Chris Woodward and Jenna Ellis and Brent Creeley and then Autumn. Our summer intern. I just like saying that, Autumn summer intern. Folks, thank you for tuning in. Hey, more great programming directly ahead on American Family Radio. Lord willing, we will see you tomorrow.